Joining us now is longtime SIU Women's College athletics coach, administrator, and official Charlotte West. She's considered a pioneer in women's athletics and Title IX, which brings us to the point of our discussion with Charlotte West today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Title IX, as many know, is a law that was passed back in 1972. It requires gender equity for boys and girls in every educational program that receives federal funding, not just athletics. I think athletics is the one that most people associate it with, but it covers much more than that, right? Now, you are speaking on October 25th at the Emeritus Faculty Lecture at SIU Carbondale, and it's entitled The Power of Title IX. Can you give us a little preview of what the nature of your presentation is going to be?
You know, I decided to call this speech The Power of Title IX because I was asked to speak just about the time we all were watching the Rio Olympics. And what a demonstration of the changes in women's athletics at that event. You know, the United States won 46 gold medals, and the women were responsible for over half of them, which excites me. We had over 500 participants, and we had more women than men, even though the men have 32 more events in the Olympics. So I was just thinking how powerful this federal law has been and all the marvelous changes I've seen, because I was in on the ground floor in 1972, served for Health, Education, and Welfare, which is today the Office of Civil Rights, as a consultant. As soon as Title IX was passed, you mentioned it covers things other than athletics. A lot of people don't realize that. when the law was passed, to be honest, people were not thinking about athletics. The people that were really behind Title IX were people that had been disadvantaged greatly from recruitment or applications to graduate school. And I'll tell a few stories Tuesday night about some of the women that were behind, and men, Title IX, because they saw this great discrimination in women not being able to get into law school or medical school. And so everybody thought, well, this is a law for the more for the classroom. And oh my goodness, when they found out it would apply to athletics, what a turbulent history we've gone through.
To that point, in fact, there have been a lot of challenges to Title IX over these 40-plus years, right? And it seems to be there seems to be turmoil surrounding it all the time.
Right. And in the middle 80s, 1980s, we didn't even have Title IX for a while during the Reagan administration. I voted for Reagan, so but he was not a friend of mine during that time, because he was one that definitely was not supportive of Title IX and athletics. And part of that's philosophical, you know, more states' rights kind of an attitude. But there we were. And of course, the Civil Rights Restoration Act overturned his position, and we regained the power of Title IX once again.
Right. I know some of those who may have some criticism of Title IX believe that the increase in opportunities for women in athletics has taken away from the opportunities for men, but that's not necessarily the case, right?
Interesting that you bring that up, because in my speech, one of my organization is to address the myths surrounding Title IX. And one of the five myths that I'm going to address is that the women have taken funds away from the men, or more frequently I hear, it's caused men's sports to be dropped. Oh, how erroneous that is. And so I'll show graphs, I'll show the number of teams for men that have been added. And to the surprise of everybody, the additional men's teams in college and high school have a faster rate right now than the women. Now, you know, it's a two-edged sword. It's so wonderful to see the increases. Like in high school, the participation of high school girls is almost 1,000% increase since Title IX. So we're seeing that great increase. But at the same time, in the last 10 years, we've seen more men's sports added than women's sports.
Without Title IX, I'll ask you to speculate here a little bit. Where do you think females and athletics would be right now? Would we see a totally different landscape right now? Would men still dominate the athletic field without it?
They still dominate the athletic field.
Even more, yeah, right.
In number of sports, in scholarships, and participation opportunities, most of all. So the men are still dominating. Yes, without Title IX, I do believe we'd see progress because, you know, after the 60s and the feminist movement and more attitude changing about what women can do, we were going to see things change. In fact, here in Illinois, who had been dragging their feet with respect, certainly to high school sports, we saw changes prior to the passage of Title IX. So we'd see progress, but not like we've seen today.
How effective is Title IX right now? We understand that there are a lot of schools who are still not in compliance with the law. So where can we get better with Title IX? Where can we go to make it more effective?
Well, in quite a few areas. I will show one graph that tells the whole story. For schools like SIU, which is the football championship subdivision, and we're lagging well behind in recruitment dollars. We're doing pretty well with financial aid because the federal law has been clarified to be very specific, so athletic directors are paying attention to giving scholarships to women on a comparable basis to men. But they still are millions of dollars ahead of the women. The participation, that's been an issue for Southern, that we're not reflecting the undergraduate enrollment yet, and we need to do a little bit better. And certainly we've done a better job with things like publicity, practice times, scheduling, number of events. So we've seen an awful lot of progress, but every indicator on that graph that I'll show, overall compliance in this particular subdivision, we're not there yet. And we're better, frankly, in some areas than the big money boys in the football bowl division. So,
why do you think that is? Why are we still not to the point where we should be?
Well, you know, attitudes are hard to change. And we've seen great shift in attitudes. And when you change attitudes, you change behavior. But we still have some reluctance to women. We've seen this in this election. You know, the men are staying by Trump at a certainly much, much greater rate than the women. But it's you know, men want men. And I'm not using overgeneralization because there are an awful lot of progressive men. Thank God we've had wonderful, wonderful fathers that demand, that's been a great thing, demand opportunities for their daughters. But there's still that outdated attitude is, the men want to play, and the men deserve to play, and the women can be the cheerleaders.
Right. So there, that gender divide is certainly still there.
It still exists. Right. Thank goodness it's decreasing. The numbers are decreasing. We found our first kind of breath of hope in June of 2003. The Wall Street Journal published a report on attitudes and people's idea about Title IX. And so at the turn of the century, three-quarters of the population were very supportive of Title IX. I mean, I was jubilant because, as I just mentioned, if you change attitudes, you're going to change behavior. And then in 2011, the New York Times did one, and there had been some increase in that from 2003. And I think if we took a survey today, we'd probably be up in the 90% are wholly supportive of Title IX. As it relates to athletics.
Right. Mm-hmm. And as we look beyond athletics, I think there are 10 areas that Title IX covers, and athletics is just one of those.
Right.
So it gets the probably 90% of the attention. It's only 10% of the actual law,
exactly.
If you will.
Exactly.
So what other areas do you see it succeeding in?
Well, certainly in enrollment, because, you know, brilliant, brilliant young women were being denied entrance. I'll tell the story. I'll tell it now. They can hear it twice. Birch Bayh, the senator from Indiana, and he's been so helpful through all the years. Whenever Title IX was threatened, those of us would say, Birch, what do we do now? You know, but he's emotionally involved in this because he met a young woman, Marcella, at a state meeting of young adult leaders in high school. He went home and he told his mother and father, I met the woman I'm going to marry. And she was an all-A student, president of her high school class, had won a national speech contest, and wanted to be a lawyer like Birch. They talked about going to law school. She applied at the University of Virginia. They wrote back, women need not apply.
Wow.
So other fields, you know, that was law. And these were the women that had been denied. They wanted to be doctors and lawyers, and they couldn't even get in school.
Right.
So we've seen it in entrance requirement. We've seen it in being able, if you wanted to take home ec in high school, you used to not be able to. Girls couldn't take shop. And so the class offerings have changed. Certainly today, every time I see Title IX, it's an article about sexual harassment. Right. And I think, well, that's good. I'm glad they're addressing that. But like you say, Title IX, with its relationship to athletics, has gotten most of the press.
And we've seen new societal issues, for instance, transgender students, those types of things where this law has come into play that I'm sure probably back in 1972, those who created it had no idea that happen 40 years
not
down the road.
Not at all. I lived with it. I was a bed partner with it for years. And if you'd asked me maybe even up to maybe 9 or 10 years ago, I would have said, I don't know if that applies. Of course it does.
Right. So where would you, we touched on a little bit about where we could see some improvements, but here we are 44 or so years down the road. Where maybe in 10 years would you like to see Title IX as far as how it's applied and its acceptance and that sort of thing?
My first attention would be to more participation slots for female athletes, because we're lagging there. And I want men and women to be involved in sport, because it teaches so much. So I've never, ever wanted men's sports to be dropped. I've wanted women's sports to be added. So that would be my first priority, is get more women involved. And there are so many high school women who play sports that when they get to college, there's not opportunities. I'll show a graph that will just shock you, where we're talking about 3 million some high school girls playing sports. Well, they're all not going to go to college, but a good percentage of them are, so let's say 2 million. And there's like a little over 200,000 collegiate opportunities. So here are people that have had some sport, love sport, and I want more opportunities. I would be so excited if Southern could add, say, women's soccer. It's so popular. It's growing all over the country. We've got soccer in the valley. And I haven't talked to Tommy Bell, our new AD, about it, but Mario was just, he's even got a locker room ready for soccer and had it planned. And if we would add soccer, we would bring in so many students. And as you know, we need students. And all of the people that would come would not be costly to us as far as scholarships. In fact, there have been some good studies that schools have used athletics to increase their finances because of the tuition and the fees that the athletes play.
Right, absolutely. Well, Charlotte West, it's a pleasure to see you again and to talk with you. And I know folks are looking forward to your presentation. Again, let me remind everyone, it is Tuesday, October 25th. It's at 7 p.m. Now, it's in Tedrick Auditorium. That's in the Boydston Center. That's the
new center.
The new center.
Between the arena and the football stadium.
Correct. Exactly. Uh-huh. So be there for the presentation at 7 o'clock. There's no cost. Public's welcome. So
I'm cheap.
No reason not to come out and listen to you.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much for the time, and best of luck to you.
Thanks so much.